All right, you can be seated today. It's good to have you. If you're doing your offering, continue to do that, no problem. All right, everybody stand up. Now that you're seated, our goal is to keep you exercising, get you fit spiritually and mentally. Oh, good. It's good to have Mr. Matthews back with us. Good to give him a good clap on. Good to have you, Mr. Matthews. And if he can stand, all the rest of you can stand. Everybody say amen. Hebrews chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded, everybody say surrounded. You remember watching the old Westerns, they always got surrounded at times, and they always had to circle the wagons, and they all had this and that going down. But we are surrounded, everybody say surrounded, by such a great cloud of witnesses. That means everybody that's gone on before us, they are still watching us. We are surrounded. And I believe with all my heart that people in heaven can see what goes on earth. I believe the Lord allows that. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That means a witness, as I said before, are people that saw something. They see it firsthand. They're not watching it through monitors. I don't think there's monitors in heaven and they're watching. I don't know how it works, but I just thank God they know. He said, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us, everybody say run. Run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. And we kind of gave the analogy of being on a track and making our laps in this life. And that up in the stands are all the saints of old, the giants of faith. And we named this series Running with the Giants. And what we're doing, we're pulling out of Hebrews 11, men and women, and also we're going to pull them out of some other places too, but out of Hebrews 11, the giants of the faith, to run a lap with us. And one of the keys is it's a matter of perspective. I don't know if you've ever had a friend come to you and they say, we got a problem, and they tell you their problem, and you go, well, you need to do this and this and this and this. But when you're the one with the problem, come on, somebody. It's a lot harder because you go, I don't know what to do, because you're in the race. You're panting. You're breathing hard. You're running around. It's easier from the outside. And these giants of the faith are coming down. We're taking them out of the stands one at a time, putting on their jogging shoes, and they're making a lap with us, and they're giving us advice. And this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to take today by faith, everybody say Abraham. Today, Abraham is going to take a lap with us, and he's going to give us advice and counsel from his perspective. And he has a great insight, so let's pray today. Father, we ask you today that you would open our ears, our eyes, our understanding, our soul, and Lord, that we can grasp and know truth, not just entertain it or get close to it, but Lord, let it absorb us. Let truth, not just that we have it, but it has us. Today, we ask you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You can be seated today. So that's our goal. We're going to do that today. And literally, one at a time, they're coming down. Today, we're bringing down Abraham. And if there was one word, when you think about Abraham, as I do, there's one word that I attach to him. It's the word faith. He's the father of the faith. When you read about his life, it's almost always there's attached to his word, his name, this area of faith. He's a father of it. And faith is one of those words that's Bible words that's hard to really understand completely. Heard a lot of definitions. Let me simplify it today and help you. I think it'll help you and come from it from a different angle. But faith is the ability that when you don't have a clue, you still go there. Now, that's a different definition. When you don't have a clue, you still go there. When you do not have a clue, faith is the ability to trust. Now, you only trust when you don't understand. Trust is, you know, otherwise it's not really trust if you know everything. And, you know, I trust that this stage is going to keep me up. Well, I'm not really trusting. I already know it. But if I were to walk on, say, something like one of those, we used to have one of those swing. Anybody walked across a swinging bridge? You ever walked across a swinging bridge? I ask you a question. Have you ever walked across a swing? Okay. And you ever walked across one that's real deep? And, I mean, you just wonder whether or not it's going to hold you up. And so there comes a time where trust only really occurs when you don't understand, when you've not experienced it before. And the message is to encourage us to trust God when we do not get it. today's message, and I believe Abraham, if he would help us at all this morning, he would run around the track with us. He said, let me tell you what I think, and let me encourage you. My thing is, you need to trust God when you don't get it, when you don't understand, when you don't comprehend what's taking place. You trust God. The first point, if you don't have an outline, raise your hand. They'll get you an outline real quick. Keep your hand up so they can see who you are. If you don't have an outline, they'll get one to you. Do we still have some left? Okay, we still have a few. Keep it up, and they'll get one to you real quick. Because the first point is, for when you don't understand God's way, God always does the right thing. And that's going to be the theme and the understanding. I believe that Abraham, if he could convey to us anything this morning when you walk running the lap with us, is when you don't understand God's ways, you need to always know this deep down in the heart of hearts. God always does the right thing. Say it, everybody say that with me. God always does the right thing. Say it again. God always does the right thing. You never have to wonder. Deep on the inside of you, you can know that God always does the right thing. And I believe that's going to be the theme that I want to get over to you this morning. And I believe when we see Abraham and his encouragement to us, and coming from a different perspective, it'll be there. Three stories out of Abraham's life, and then we're going to pray together today. Faith is not, and here's what he would say, faith is not such some blind thing that we're doing ignorantly. Faith is not some hillbilly, dumb type of, well, oh no, I just believe God. Faith is not something that just some blind. I believe that faith comes from this understanding deep on the inside of you, that you get to know God to such an extent that knowing Him, you know that He always does what is right. Regardless of whether you understand it, regardless whether it's spelled out to you, no matter what circumstances says, it's just let me say this. You get to a place where you become okay with not knowing why. You get to a place where it's okay not to know why yet. I believe one day we'll know everything. One day, whether this life or the life to come, we'll know. But it's okay not knowing everything. One day we'll be satisfied with the answers that He gives us. And people of faith go there. What would you like to ask God? We've all got questions. But what would you really like to ask God this morning if you could? I'm okay with the things I don't understand. But what is the things that you don't understand? It's happened in your life that it seems whether God orchestrated it or God allowed it. One of my goals, though, is for you to leave here today okay with the things you don't understand. We're going to pursue understanding, but people of faith are okay with the parts that they do not understand. Let me give you some ponderables, as we call them in the ministry. Ponderable is something you ponder about. It's a new word we thought about. Let me give you a few things. This is livening up a little bit this morning. Let me give you a few things I ponder about. Number one is, I've always pondered why women cannot put mascara on without closing their mouth. I don't know why they can't put mascara on and close their mouth. I don't know that. You ever thought about why the man you trust all your money with is called a broker? Somewhere the etymology of that word had to come from somewhere. Why didn't they make the Malaysian plane out of, you know, why didn't they make planes out of the indestructible stuff the black box is made out of? We'd know where the Malaysian plane was if we'd know that today. Let me give another one I ponder about. Why don't sheep shrink when it rains on them? I hear another one. Why isn't phonics spelled like it is? Phonics. And if flying was so safe, why do they call the end where you end up the terminal? All right, now go to this in your mind. Go to this in your mind. Some of you, I don't know where you are in your mind. Some of you are here physically, but you're long. Some of you are in Hawaii. Some of you are thinking about dinner. Some of you, I know all this. You're thinking about homework. You're thinking about girlfriend, boy. You're thinking about fight you just had. You don't know where you are. Now, here's where, let's all go together one place in our minds. And here's where I wanted to go. The time when God did not make sense to you. Go to this place in your mind right now. When God did not make sense to you. And Abraham, with his sneakers on, he's pulling up alongside of you right now. And you're at a time right now in your mind when God did not make sense. When this was occurred, that occurred. If you aren't brave enough to accuse God of doing it, at least of allowing it, go to that place in your mind when God did not make sense. The day when, and just see Abraham pulling up alongside of you. The day when you know, it seemed like God blew it. The day when someone died much earlier than what you thought ought to be. Been there, done it. The day when it just seemed like what happened and what God allowed was absolutely wrong. A day when God didn't show up at the right time that you thought he ought to show up. He didn't show up. And sometimes go to that place in your mind today when God did not make sense. And I believe that will be the help that Abraham will give us today. I think that's encouragement. I think that's the perspective that he will throw on our lives. Three stories in the life of Abraham. And let's start with going to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. It's not in your notes, but it'll lead into your notes. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid. Do you know what that tells me? He was afraid. Abraham was a... God wouldn't come on the scene and say, don't be afraid, if Abraham said, well, what do you mean? I ain't afraid. Ain't nobody afraid. That meant there was fear in Abraham. When God came on, first words he says, Abraham, do not be afraid. And he, listen, the reason God came and spoke to Abraham was he was discouraged. There was a promise given him that he was going to have children, but he's getting old and he does not have a child. And he's literally at a place where he's becoming discouraged and fearful of his future. And God comes on the scene and he says, listen, do not be afraid. And I believe that Abraham would say that to some of us today surrounding this track with us. He would look you in the eye and tell you, listen, I'm going to give you my advice. I'm going to give you from my life. Listen, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't let fear grip you and grab you. In verse 1 and 2, listen, it says, don't be afraid. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain? He said, Lord, really? How can you tell me not to be afraid? How can you tell me not to be fearful of the future when I remain childless and the heir of my whole estate is going to be the servant, my main servant? How can you tell me, Lord, that I'm not to be afraid? How can you tell me to make sense of this life that I'm living and how you're dealing with me and what you're doing? How can you say that, Lord? How can you tell me not to be afraid? How can you bring that to me? And so he's questioning the Lord. He's asking him. And I want you to listen to it. It says, Son, what can you bring me? I'm a child in the estate of Eleazar of Damascus. Abraham said, you've given me no children, and so servant in my household will be my heir. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood. Here's a real key ingredient in that. Someone of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. It's not going to be, listen, God's coming to Abraham and telling him this. I'm going to do exactly what I said I'm going to do. There's no plan B. There's no somebody else of another flesh. It's going to be your own flesh and blood will be the inheritance. He will be your heir. It will not be some servant. It will not be somebody. Your own heir will be, your descendants will be of that. And that's an important detail. And God had this dilemma, though. Because when he said it to Abram, Abram did not get it. And so God is wanting for him to get it. Here's what he does to him. So he took him outside and said, all right, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. Let me take you outside and show you some. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars if indeed you can count them. You can't count the stars. So he said, so shall your offspring be. And the Bible said, Abram believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. Now this is a really good point. You need to understand this. In your life, if Abraham could tell you something, he'd say, listen, I got it. When I looked up at the stars, I got it. I understood that what God was saying to me. I got it. I saw the example, and he says he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But here's what happened in Abraham's life, if he could tell you. He said, but you know, I got it, but I didn't get it. Let me explain this. Brother Eccles, an old pastor I grew up under, used to tell me, life is like this. It's like in the evening when the tide, if you're on the seashore, the tide coming in. It rushes in, the sea does, the water does, but it stretches way ahead. You'll be standing in the water, will come to your toes, But it doesn't stay there. You know what happens? It recedes and the tide goes back a little bit. But if you were able to measure it, it does not go back, even though you can't tell it on a few tides, as far back as it was before. And if you stand there long enough, what happens to the tide? The tide goes even further than where you were before. And when it recedes back, it doesn't go near as far. And if you stay there long enough, the water will be up to your knees or so, and the tide will be way up there. And Brother Eccles used to tell me, he said, my life of faith has been like that. He said, I've surged ahead at times, but I didn't get everything I got. I didn't keep everything I experienced. I slid back a little bit. But I didn't slide back all the way. He said, then I'd have another push. I'd go out further next time. And Abraham, I believe, if he was running with us, he'd say, you know what? That day God took me out and I looked up at the heavens and I saw the stars. I surged way ahead. But I didn't keep everything I got. And he said, well, how do you know that, Pastor? When you begin to study Abraham's life, you begin to understand it. Listen, let me say it this way. God always does the right... God always does the right thing, even if it takes a long time. Now watch this. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Everybody say Hagar. What happens is this. It takes a long time. Put my first point up there, would you? Abraham, listen, God always does the right thing, even if it takes a long time. God always does the right thing, even if it takes a long time. And let me say it this way. Abraham and Sarah began to talk about God was going to give him a baby. But year after year after year went by. And Abraham, years before, had gone out that starry night and said he believed God and it was counting him in righteousness. But he didn't keep it all because at some point it never came to pass. And one day Sarah had enough of it. And Sarah says, Abram, we're getting old. And everybody, listen, I think we're going to have children. And the Bible said, God said it was going to be of your flesh and blood. He never said it was going to be of my flesh and blood. So why don't we just go ahead and you take Hagar, my servant, and you have a baby by her. And he did. He agreed. And out of that was born Ishmael, who became the father of the Arab nations. And let me tell you, the Arab nations' great father was Abraham, as well as the father of the Israeli people is Abraham. They're brothers. That's why they fight so much. They're brothers. And so here's Abraham and Sarah. They go to plan B, and if Abraham was running around the track with us, he'd listen, let me tell you something. You want to go, you want to mess your life up, go to plan B. Just you know, thank God's not going to do it, and you go and you decide and you figure out how you're going to do it on your own. And the Bible says he went in, had a son by Hagar. But listen, he would tell us this morning, let me tell you something about God. God, and he would hear what he said, I'm going to tell you something about God this morning, Abraham's telling us. That you're not going to like. What's that, Abraham? God is notorious for taking a long time. Oh, I want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I want faith and I want quick faith. I want faith right now. All right? God is notorious for taking at least what seems long to us. I'm praying that it'll bring you to the place that you get comfortable with God taking a long time. Until you do, you'll never really experience peace in your life with God. Abraham would be honest. He'd say, listen, I didn't wait on God long enough. I took matters into my own hands. Look at Genesis 16. Look at this, verse 1 and 2. Look at what he says. Sarah had a wife, born to him in child, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Abraham, she said to Abraham, the Lord kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed with her and went and did what she did. Listen, sometimes you need to know, God's timing is not our timing. Part of the whole faith thing is you've got to be careful in an instant society that we live in. We want to grow in faith, but we want the kind of faith that's right now faith. Speak a word and it happens. Pray for healing, it happens. Speak it out. But Abraham would come alongside. Listen, we want a great quick fix. Remember the old joke we tell all the time? God, how much is a million years to you? And God said, million years is like a second to me. Really, God? How much is like, what's $1 million to you? And God said, $1 million, that's like a penny to me. God, can I have one of your pennies? And God said, yeah, in just a second. Come on, somebody. You have a joke. You remember the old joke. 2 Peter 3 says it this way. The Lord is not, everybody say this word. The Lord is what? Not what? Oh, I like that. Now listen to what it says. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Did you catch it? How you think is slow, what you consider slow, what you think is slow. Instead, he is what? Patient. And believe this or not, that is something the Lord wants to do in your life, is bring patience into your life. All right. Second thing Abraham would tell us, number two, would be God always does the right thing, even if it seems absurd. Let me tell you something about God, Abraham. Let me tell you something about God. God always does the right thing. I learned this in my life, Abraham would say, is he always does the right thing, even if it seems absurd. Time to time, God's going to do some things that will cause you to go and say, are you kidding me, God? Are you kidding me? Abraham, we run and say, God waited until I was 99 years old. I thought he was going to do what he said he would do when I had the ability to reproductive in my own body. I thought he would do it during those years, but no. When I'm 99 years old, my wife is 89 years old, God spoke to me and said, go on and splash on a little bit of moonlight over Opelousa, because today you're going to have a baby. Come on, somebody. That would be just like, here's my mom. He said, Mom and Dad up here, they're 83 years. That would be just like today if I said, hey, guess what? We're going to have another baby in our family. Oh, everybody was, oh, is it Ben and Leslie, or is it Jennifer and Kurt? Who is it? I said, no, neither one of them. And they would look, you and Jasmine? I go, no, Mom and Dad. Have you know we'd be the topic of conversation at lunch today. And so Abraham would come alongside of you and say, listen, when God does something that seems absurd to you, absurd, what, God, what? You got to be kidding me. Listen to what it says. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah was already old and well advanced age. Sarah was past the age of childbearing. She was 89. Sarah laughed. She didn't laugh thinking, whoo-hoo, good news. She went, ha-ha, absurd. You got to be kidding me. Absurd. And you know, even when you do it to yourself, how many know God even knows what you're doing when you do it to yourself? She was listening. I mean, this was her honest, the most absurd thing I've heard in my life. And let me tell you, God got offended by that. God got offended. Notice what he said. Oh, will I now have pleasure? Notice what the Lord said. Then the Lord said to Abram, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? God looked and says, you talking to me? You think it's too hard? Is there something too hard that I can't do? You think it's absurd? You think what I'm about to do is absurd? And Abraham running around this track says, man, you should have been with us that day. The angels came in the tent and Sarah laughed after God said it. And we both were thinking in our brains, you've got to be kidding me. He would say, listen, God always does the right thing even when it seems absurd in your life. You want me to say what? You want me to give what? I'll return to you at the appointed time. Let me tell you something about the appointed time. There is an appointed time, and that's one of the things in life that can get you questioning God. Because you never know. There's an appointed time. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. There is an appointment with God when our life is to end. Jasmine and I are flying to California this week. And one of the reasons we're doing is, and we do this, Jasmine and her family has a unique gifting to where when someone's about to pass away, God gives them dreams. And they have dreams of that person passing. And two times this week, Jasmine had a dream of her daddy, of Samuel passing. And unknowing to her, also, one of her brothers had a dream of their daddy passing. So we don't know if it's right now or as soon or whatever. So we're flying out there on this weekend just to be with them. It's their his birthday is coming up, and it's their anniversary, so we'll be with it. But we learned this. You've got to trust God with the appointed times of your life. You've got to stop saying that things are absurd. You've got to come to a place where you say, okay, God, it seems absolutely absurd, but the appointed time, the God you serve is in control of our lives. The God you serve knows exactly what he's doing. And verse 14 says, I will come again, and I will, at the appointed time, you will have a son. Look at what Romans says. Romans gives a different view on it. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. He came to a place in his life where even though Sarah didn't believe it, he believed it. He came to a place where he may have had a question or two, but he began. And I want that for you today. I want Abraham running the track with you and saying, listen, there'll be times when God speaks to you, it'll seem absolutely absurd what he's telling you to do. But don't listen. God always does the right thing, even when you think it's absurd. All right, number three. God always does the right thing, even if it doesn't seem right. And let me make the distinction between that one and the previous ones. God always does the right thing, even if it doesn't seem right. The difference is, the distinction is this. It's not that he's late. It takes a long time. And it's not that it's absurd. But in this point is, God, you're wrong. Now, I know none of you have ever come to that place in your life. God, you're wrong. You remember Peter the day, Peter, the apostle, walked with Jesus 3.5 years. On the day of Pentecost, was filled with the Holy Ghost, was redeemed by the Lord, and said, feed my sheep. And he went, and he began to be a great apostle, and his shadow would fall on people, and people would get healed. You remember the day when the sheep fell out of heaven? And had pigs on it, and all the unclean animals that a Jew counted. And the Lord said, Peter, rise, kill, and make gumbo. Come on, somebody. And you remember what Peter said to the Lord? He didn't doubt it was God. He did not doubt. You know what he said? You're wrong, God. Not so, Lord, not so. He didn't doubt it was the Lord. He didn't think it was a devil giving him a vision. He said, I rebuke you, devil. He knew it was God. He said, you're wrong, God. Not so, Lord. From my youth, I have not eaten it. And God said, listen, I'm not wrong. Don't you call unclean what I have cleaned. The thing went back up. Three times that hard head came back down. There they were. Rise, kill, make gumbo today, Peter. Not so, Lord. I have not done it since I was there. And so it took him three times. See, have you ever come to a place where you looked at God and said, God, you're wrong. And Abraham, if he's walking with us, let me just do this to save a little time. Abraham was brought out one time, and God said, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah was there, and he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible says the problem that Abraham had with that was his nephew Lot, he had some relatives that lived there. Let me tell you something. You ever hear anybody dooming something, and you've got relatives that are in it, are there? It makes a difference in your life. And Abraham comes to God and said, God, you're wrong. Would you kill the righteous with the unrighteous? Lord, think about what you just said. Think about what you're doing. And that's the story where God, he begins to bargain with God. If there's 40, if there's 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. He bargains with God and brings God down to where he feels comfortable with the number. And then he walks away. But he's at a place where he's feeling like, God, you don't know, God. What are you doing? Listen, questioning God is not always wrong, as long as you come to the right conclusion. And when that day when he stood there, here's the conclusion that Abraham would tell us he came to. Will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Let me tell you something about God. He will do what is right. And even when it seems wrong, in our estimation, God always does what is right. And whatever situation of life you're in, whatever circumstance that brought you to the place where you question God, you're wrong. God, why are you doing it? God, why are you allowing that? Aren't you glad? And aren't you really doing the right thing? And aren't you glad that you can have that deep within you? That even when you're questioning and even when you do question, Jesus on the cross questioned, my God, why have you forsaken me? But he came to the right conclusion. When you read the book of Psalms, here was the conclusion he came to. Our fathers trusted in you, and you delivered them. I put my trust in you. There comes a point in your life where you can question God. God's never intimidated by honest questions. And Abraham came to that place where he said, shall not the judge of all the earth do is right? And I want you to know that the judge of all the earth will do what is right. One of the most embarrassing moments that you and I have in our future is going to be the day in heaven when we realize and we understand why God did what he did, and we will understand and we will say, okay. It says in the book of Revelation that we're going to be standing there saying, righteous and true are thy judgments, O God. Come on, somebody. And I think it will be a red face. Some of you will be our hands and we're going to have a red face. Righteous and true are thy judgments, O God. Now I get it. Now I understand. I apologize. Sorry for saying what I thought. Proverbs, faith understands this. And listen to what it says in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right to man, but the end's death. God in his goodness. How many of you are so glad you did not marry some of those people you wished you'd married when you were young? Come on, somebody, let's raise your hand. Remember Mr. Bodybuilder? He's a tub of goo right now. Maybe you pass him on the road. God, thank you. I didn't marry so-and-so. Thank you. I didn't end up with so-and-so. How many are glad that God did not answer some of the prayers you prayed? Come on, let's raise the roof. Glad God did not answer some of the prayers that you prayed in life. Well, we can move right on. All right, number four. God always does the right thing, even if we don't understand. Here's the last story. God always does the right thing, even when we don't. And let me tell you where Abraham reached, and I want you to reach this same place. The day came when Abraham, just out of the blue, one day God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, yes, Lord, take your son, your only son, and offer him on a hill, Mount Moriah, 3-day journey going to Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah is where the Dome of the Rock, if you see the Dome of the Rock, many historians believe that's where Abraham takes Isaac. And God says, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him on a hill, I'll show you. And you know what I like about Abraham? Here's what he would tell us. He's running this lap with us this morning. He'd listen, you know, I got to the place in my life where I learned to trust God even if I didn't understand it. Listen, do not make the quest of your life to understand everything. Make the quest of your life to know him. And when you know him, everything's going to be all right. When you come to the place when you know him, you just know that he's too powerful to fail, he's just too wise to make a mistake, and that he loves you far too much to ever hurt you. When you get to know him. And the day came when God said that to Abraham. And when you read the scriptures, guess what happened? You don't read one hesitation. You don't read one part where Abraham said, I don't know what. Yeah, not. He says the next morning he got up, saddled the donkeys, got Isaac, and headed toward Mount Moriah. Took the knife out, bound his son down there, put the knife down, had the knife coming down when the angel grabbed his hands. He didn't flinch. And you know what I love? Look at Hebrews. Oh, just read this story because you need to get this. It's told in Genesis 2, but the synopsis of it is in the book of Hebrews 11. Watch what it says here. It adds a detail that I love. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Even though God has said to him, it's through Isaac, now stop, don't go any further, that your offspring will be reckoned. Think about this thing when you don't understand. Through Isaac shall be your offspring, God. And now in the midst of all this, Abraham's running this race with us. But he said, I'm going to tell you something. I got to a place in my life where I knew him so well, I trusted him. And let me show you what was going through Abraham. Here's what Abraham said. Let me tell you how I was reasoning this out in my brain. Let me tell you what I was thinking about. Hebrews tells us, watch what it says. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise him from what? Did you get that? When he picks it up, he's not dumb. He's knowing that the whole promise goes through his son Isaac. But he never flinched at this point. At this point, he's grown in his knowledge and knowing of God. And as Abraham said, listen, I know it didn't make sense. It did not make sense. But he said, I was okay with it not making sense. I was okay not understanding. And I just reasoned. There was some reasoning going on in my brain. My reasoning was, God must go raise him from the dead. I'm going to plunge my knife through his heart, and then God's going to raise him from the dead. Come on, somebody. That's how he was thinking, because I know God. And the two of these don't go together, but somehow God's going to work it out anyway. And if I plunge a knife through his heart, God will raise him from the dead. Come on, give the Lord a good clap. He was just reasoning it. Because by this time, he had trusted God with his whole heart. And Abraham fully intended doing what he knew. Listen, let me, Abraham, encourage you this morning and tell you God knows best. Everybody say God knows best. Listen, give up the quest to understand everything. Make the quest knowing him and you'll trust him. If you predicate your obedience upon understanding it, you have reduced God to the size of your brain, and that's really small for some of you. I'm okay with not understanding. I'm okay. I was a very inquisitive guy. I was an engineer. Very inquisitive. But I came to the place, I'm okay to do what he said when it seems to contradict what he promised. I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe he's going to raise him from age. I don't know what he's going to do. But I just trust him. And the more you get to know him, the more you learn to trust him. Final words of encouragement this morning from Abraham. Running with the giants, as they say, you know, they step down the stands and they take a lap with one of us. And, you know, one of the most helpful, encouraging aspects is the matter of perspective. And one of the keys about life is when we're all in heaven and we look back on this earth, you will not be as upset and all this as you did the first. Listen, let me tell you, being a grandfather is so much better. Who cares if they spill it on the car? Who cares if they don't eat all their green beans? Well, come to think of it, I was that way with it as a father too. But who cares when all that took place? But it's like thinking back on high school. Remember how you do that, and we're gonna put this in your permanent record. Your permanent. How many know your permanent record don't mean a hill of beans? They used to threaten us in high school. Permanent, go on your permanent record. Who cares? You know, and whether I made a B in that class or an A in that class, having this perspective is different. And you imagine these saints in the stands are looking at Abraham now, running this last day. And let me give you an encouragement from an eternal perspective. And let me just give you these final words of encouragement. And Abraham would encourage you, focus on heaven. What's interesting to me is in the book of Hebrews, when it sums up Abraham's life, when the ending and telling about his life sums up, it then begins not just talk about faith, but it finishes with the explanation of Abraham with one general thought. I broke it down into two sections, but one general thought when he thought about his faith. And this one single thought can save your life, because earth and things in earth are going to disappoint. And if you wait for the conclusion of all that God has for you, think you've got to get it here. You got to get your healing here. You got to get your finances, your prosperity. If you think that this life is where everything has to be given you for your faith to really work, then you're going to be mighty disappointed. And here's Abraham. He's sitting down on the bleachers. He's taking his tennis shoes off, his running shoes off. He said, "Let me tell you one last encouraging parting word." He said, "Put the first one up there. It's this: don't make earth your home. Don't make earth your home. You're only passing through. And the longer you're here, the slipperier it gets, and the faster you slide off of it. Look what the scripture says. I love the way it reads here. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign. Can you read that? He said, let me tell you how I live my life. He said, let me just tell you how I live my life, and let me just encourage you. He said, I made my home in the promised land like I was a foreigner, or I was in a distant country. He said, I was a stranger in a foreign land. He said, and here's what he says. He lived in tents. He didn't build him a building. He didn't build him a house. He never had his dream house. My dream house. What do you want your dream house here? Okay, some of you are real mad at me now. And he said he did not, listen, he lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder was God. He said, this is earth. I'm in a foreign land. I'm a stranger in a foreign land. This is not where all my reward comes from. Paul said, if we had only hope in this life, we'd be of most men miserable. He said, I'm a stranger in a foreign land. Abraham would look at me and you and say, listen, don't make this earth your home. Don't make this a fulfillment of all your dreams and wishes. And don't make it this, your marriage, your home. Don't make this that. He would tell you, listen, and the second thing he would say, the last word of encouragement was, live with an eternal perspective. Live with an eternal perspective. That is, everything you do, all the money you spend, all your talents you use, your time you use it with an eternal perspective in mind. I'll never forget one day we had an outing here, and I remember I saw a guy that owned his own business, very well-to-do, very intelligent, had a lot of employees. I remember he was over there, and he was doing a menial job. And I went over there and I said, hey, you know, we can get you over here. He said, no. He said, this is the only thing. He was handing out water, so we were out of place and had me helping poor people. He said, this is the only thing I've done all week long that has any eternity attached to it. He said, don't move me from this. He said, I love doing this because it has eternal value to it. Where everything else I've done all week long, he said, you know, did not. And so when you do that, live with an eternal perspective. And look what Hebrews 11 and 12 says. It says, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand in the sea. You know what the bad thing about this was? This didn't happen until after he was dead. Bummer! While he lived, his kids were not, the descendants were not as the stars or as the sand on the sea. Bummer! If you live only for this life. But if you live with an eternal perspective, absolutely great. Hallelujah. It may not happen in my lifetime. I may not see it come to pass, but I know that it will. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, this morning we just repent of the short-sightedness that we've had in our lives. And we want to tell you that we believe and trust that you do the right thing in all the different circumstances of our life. And though we cannot understand, it takes too long, it seems absurd. Lord, we just, all those things, we just give into your hands. Thank you for the encouragement of Abraham today of believing and trusting you, especially of not making earth our home and living with an eternal perspective and seeing, Lord, as it will be one day and really giving it all into your hands. Thank you for this life is not our home. We're strangers in a foreign land. We love you. We want to trust you. We want to be able, Lord, to come to the place in our life where when you tell us to do something that seems absolutely wrong, we just do it. It doesn't seem right. And it doesn't make sense. We'll do it without questioning. We'll just believe you'll do something tremendous, something beyond it when we do it because it will be the fulfillment of your promise to us. So, Lord, we give you today. We just give you the quest that we had to understand everything. And we put in its place the quest to know you so that we can trust you. We ask that in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen today. Give the Lord a great clap offering. Would you do that?